That's just really amazing. Absolutely amazing. And Father, we do want to give you thanks and praise, Father, for what you're doing in our midst. Lord, it's undeniable what you're doing amongst us. Undeniable, Father. We're not guessing here, Lord. We're not like, oh, well, maybe God is, if God would only. Lord, it's undeniable what you're doing in our lives, what you're doing through our lives into this great city, Father. And we want to say thank you for allowing us to join in your venture of seeing lives transformed from kids to OAPs, oh God. We love it, Father God. We love it, Lord. We say, bring on more of heaven to earth, Lord God. We say, Father, you as every priest that's in this house, Lord God. Every single person that calls upon your name. Amen. Amen. Do you ever feel thrown in at the deep end? Hands up if you ever felt thrown in at the deep end. Without armbands. Well, I wasn't down to preach this morning. That's not an excuse for doing a bad job or anything. I'm not making an excuse prior to that, because I love preaching. I'm a preacher. And you give me a chance and I'll be up there. Well, it's amazing because Eddie got sick that he couldn't make it. And that would take a lot for Eddie not to be able to make it on his route for preaching. And but during the week, if I could get my iPhone, I could tell you exactly what day it was. The Lord gave me a title of a message called Getting Thrown into the Deep End. So when Eddie rang me yesterday, because he was leaving it off to the end to see could he beat the thing that was wrong with him, and he goes, look, Pastor, I'm sorry, it's over to you. and I'm like, Eddie, it's okay, I have something. God gave me something. I could preach a message. I have hundreds of messages on my iPad that of truths of God. But it's important when God gives you a message that you have what he has. And, you look in your life and you go, there's times when God asked you to do something and you felt you were being thrown into the deep end. Yeah, are you with me? He asked you to step out and to do some things for him. He's like, Lord, this is like stepping out into the deep end. I'm being thrown in here without any sort of safety nets or without anything. And all you can hear is God saying, trust me. There's people that leave their countries and go to other countries with this promise of, I will be with you and I will always be with you. There's people that give up jobs to work for God in church buildings, in outreaches into the nation. Oh, and you go, Lord, I feel like I'm being thrown in at the deep end here. And in fact, that's where God loves us to be. Because our dependency upon him, the levels of dependency are so We're up the creek without him type of thing. Do you know? Like, Lord, if you don't come through here, I'm going to drown. Yeah? Have you ever been there? Really, if you've ever been there, put up your hand. And the good news for everyone else, you will be there. And the good news for everyone else that has been there, there's other times when you'll be there. And then when you go through that one, you will be there. But this time you have a history of knowing, my goodness, God allows people to walk on water. Just ask the Apostle Peter. Peter, step out of the boat, he says. Hang on a minute, Lord. Men weren't meant to walk on water. No, with me you are. And Peter says, look, I'm getting out of this and going into the deep end with Jesus. And preachers preach. And they talk about, well, Peter took his eyes off Jesus and he started to sink. Do you remember? We always think of the negative, don't we? But no preacher can say what Peter can say. Yeah, I might have sunk when I took my eyes off Jesus, but I know what it's like to walk on water. And I think as Christians, as men and women of God, as people on the adventure, I think we should feel more at home walking on water than we should on dry land. I really do. Because that means I'm going to drown without you, Lord. I'm never going to overcome this addiction. I'm never going to overcome this mentality. I'm never ever going to walk into power. I'm never ever going to start that business without you that you put in my head. All the things is that we need you, Lord. We need you. We're going to be absolutely creamed without you. And I like being there. I like being there. I love going after buildings that's worth millions and I've no money. I love it. I love it. And you're like, Lord, are you sure? Because when you get a building like this, €1 million, when you get it, you nearly become settled. Oh, well, we done that one. The Lord says, oh, there's more people to be reached, so therefore you need more buildings. Do you want to step out again? Would you put it all on the line again, Noah? Would you put everything? Yes, Lord. Because the reality is I feel more at home out there than I do here. And every time we settle for safe ground, the Lord has a way of getting us to step to the edge again.
Go on and pray for that person. What if it doesn't happen? Well, get out of the boat and see. What if you don't come through? Get out of the boat and see. What if it doesn't work out the way I actually think it should work out? Get out of the boat and see. That's good preaching itself. So, it says it, thrown in at the deep end. I don't know what your deep end is right now. Maybe to trust Him with the deepest thing in your heart. And maybe to trust Him with the greatest shame that you might feel. It might be to trust Him with your future. It might be to trust Him with your present situation. It might be to trust Him with the darkness of your past. I don't know what yours is. It may be for provision for your children, provision for Pulse Camp. It might be an incredible amount of things. But He's calling us out of the safety zones into a place where it's like, Lord, I need You. And I actually feel, it's not Noel telling me to step out of this boat. I feel like if John would have said to Peter, there's Jesus walking on the water. Go on out and walk on water. Peter, you know, would have said to John, you go out and walk on the water. You know, it's easy for someone else to say to you, you step out in faith. You step out in faith. I remember a fellow saying to me, my brother was dying of HIV AIDS, and this is a wrong thing of any way of treating anybody. And he says, Noel, if you have enough faith, your brother would be healed. Yeah, thanks. I love you too, bro. And I said, have you got a faith like that? And he goes, yeah. And I says, well, come on up to hospital. You lay hands on him. You raise him up from his dead beds. I meet up there. He never showed up. Because it's easy him to tell me to have the faith. John said to Peter, you step out. John, you step out. See, when Jesus says step out. See, when Jesus says go up to the hospital and cast out sickness off people and raise people from them. When he says it, he backs it up with his power. If I say it to you, you'd be like, yeah, right now, like, I hear what you're saying. It sounds good. But whatever Jesus is calling you out in, just make sure it's Jesus that's calling you. Because He'll sustain you on the water. He'll provide for you in the water. Not just what you hear from man, because it might be a good idea, but God is not obligated to my word. But He has put an obligation to fulfill His word into everything. Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel 37 was quoted earlier in the service. And it's always good when you hear Ezekiel's name, especially when you're going to preach from him. Listen to this. It's going to come up on the screen, I think. This is Ezekiel, the prophet of the Old Testament. An angel appears to him. He calls him a man. He says, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. And I saw water coming out from underneath the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. The gate facing east. And the water was trickling from the south side. Oh, amen. I'm going to bless the north side because all of this is going to come from the south side. No, I'm only joking. A man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand. He measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water that was ankle deep. He measured out 1,000 cubits. It was up to his ankles, yeah? He measured another 1,000 cubits and led me through that water. And that was knee deep. He measured off 1,000 and led me. And that was up to my waist. He measured off 1,000. But now it was a river that I could not cross. Because the water had risen and was so deep. It was deep enough to swim in. A river that no one could cross. He asked me, son of man, do you see this? Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region and down to the Arava where it enters the Dead Sea. When it empties itself into the sea, the salty water becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live there. Wherever this river flows, there will be life. There will be a large number of fish because the water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand alongside the shore from Engedi to Englia. There will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea. But the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both sides of the river, the banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing of the nations. Amen. Amen. What's this river? The river is the Holy Spirit.
The river is the power, the dynamic of the Holy Spirit that comes from God that will fill up every person that calls on the name of Jesus. That we talked over the last 3 weeks about coming into alignment with God, about being on the altar of God, and it was all designed so the Holy Spirit would come and fill us. John the Baptist says of Jesus, John the Baptist prophesied, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me, and he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. When Jesus comes down, he's prophesying this stuff. There's one coming after me. I'm not it. But when he comes, I want you to know that he is powerful. I'm not even fit to tie the laces in his shoes. And then John is prophesying all of this. Can you imagine? And one day Jesus comes down. The one who he was talking about comes down, and he goes, there he is. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Before he knows, Jesus is standing in the water with him. And John says, Jesus, hang on a sec. I want you to give me your baptism. What was this baptism? The Holy Spirit and fire. And Jesus says, no, you must baptize me with water so all things will be fulfilled. John baptized with water. Next minute, the Holy Spirit comes down. Shh. Fills Jesus up. The Father says, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. The Spirit leads him off into the desert to have a confrontation with the devil in hell. And he comes out of the desert, led in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he went around preaching the gospel and healing the sick and casting out the devil. John says, I want that baptism. I want the baptism of fire and of power. And without that, we can't do the things of God. Without that, we can look religious, we can have religious sound in songs, we can have religious sound in, we can have religious garb, we can have religious temples, we can have religious books, but without the power of the Holy Spirit, that's all it is religious sound and religious looking things. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, as Ezekiel was prophesying into what we receive today as Christians, that he was saying wherever this river touches, wherever it touches, it brings life to those things. We're life givers. We're life bringers. Ezekiel was brought into three levels. And I want to show us something that he was prophesying about things that we have. And one of the things that Ezekiel, when the angel came, he measured off 1,000 cubits. And he leads him into it, yeah? And it's up to his ankle. And see, in the Old Testament, you can have a walk with God that is brilliant. In the Old Testament, saints, they walked with God. They talked with God. They could go into a certain level of relationship with God, like up to their ankles. Yeah, man, I'm walking with God. I can hear God. You see all throughout the Old Testament of many men and women of God that was walking with God and had absolutely great things going on with God. And then, but that's, it's not enough just to walk. Another 1,000 cubits was in the Old Testament, another 1,000 cubits was up to his knees. And you can have an up-to-your-knees experience with God. You can have a great prayer life. Because knees always represent prayer, don't they? I'm on my knees. And the Old Testament saints, the Old Testament prophets and people had a prayer life, had something going on with God in regards to communication. And he even had a waist, he measured another 1,000 cubits, and he had a waist experience where the waist, and another translation says, that I was up to my loins, meaning the inside of your thighs where it's very important for women giving birth to new things. And you can have new experience of God. You can have vision. Birth to new vision in God. Even the Old Testament saints had vision with God. And they've seen the things that we long for even today. But it says in one of these little passages, it says, when I arrived there, let me just go. No. Don't show them the end before the beginning. It says, he measured out 1,000, 1,000, 1,000. Then it says, he led me back to the banks. He led him back after 3 measurements. He led him back walking up to your ankles, knees up in prayer life. Third, the waist, like where you can have vision and all, giving new birth to new dreams of God. That the Old Testament saint, like in as we have Ezekiel, had 3 experiences of the power of the Holy Spirit. And he leads him back to the bank, and you can hear in Ezekiel's voice nearly, there was a disappointment, because when I looked, I seen other things. Are you with me? So we have 3 measurements, and then he says, when I went to the bank, I looked over, and this is what I seen. Go on back to the next one. This is what I've seen. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side and a river flowing down. The river was fresh and making salty things fresh, and new living creatures would be able to live there. And there was a large number of fish, and there was life. Everything was given, and there was fishermen and all types of fish, and there was fruit being bore. There was water flowing consistently from the sanctuary, and the food was brilliant, and the leaves was healing to people and to the nations. So he was brought back in his experience, and now he was looking at healing people, fishing the Bible in this situation. And we see in the New Testament, Jesus says, I'll make you fisher of men. So fish in his vision were people from all kinds, all type of fish, small fish, big fish, rich fish, poor fish, broken fish, addicted fish, you know, successful fish, not successful fish, people, fishes on the inside were broken, goldfish, they were the rappers. Finding Nemo fish. All types of fish he could see. But he was on this side and he was seeing all that happening. Meaning that there was, why am I not going over there? Why am I not experiencing this fruit? Why am I not doing all of these things? I tell you why. Because he was in an Old Testament situation. He was in an old covenant. No one's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit the way you and I are without the cross of Jesus happening. Nobody was going to experience these things without the power of the Holy Spirit. They weren't going to get the fullness. They weren't going to get the fruitfulness. They weren't going to get the strong trees. There's trees in the Bible. In Isaiah, it says that you and I, Christians, will be like oaks of righteousness. Trees represents people. That we couldn't be strong trees. We wouldn't have fishes of all kinds. We wouldn't see the healing of the nations. We wouldn't be enjoying the fruit. We wouldn't, because of the cross did not happen yet. But when the cross happened, when Jesus paid the price for you and I, for my sin and for your sin, when his Father punished him for what we did, we don't get off scot-free. We get off scot-free, but it wasn't a free sacrifice. Jesus paid the price. And if you look at the Old Testament and see the severity of the punishment of sin, which was death, Jesus took all that. And because he took all that, you and I could become temples of the Holy Spirit, that he would come and live in us. It's nearly like, Jesus, I see all of that stuff over there, but how do I get near it? Lord, I see the fruit, I see the trees, I see all the fishes of all the kinds, I see the healing, I see the miracles, I've seen the signs and wonders, but Lord, I seem to be here. Now, how do I get a hold of that? You get the same baptism Jesus got, which was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You get the next level. You get the Old Testament saints couldn't have it. Some of them experienced the Holy Spirit being on them, but they could never experience the Holy Spirit being in them. They could never experience the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the joy of the Holy Spirit the way we know, because the Holy Spirit was always on them, but not in them. And I think at times in church life and in Christian life, and I've been there so many times, that we hear about all the stuff, and it's like we're 3,000 cubits in, and we can't go swimming. Lord, what's stopping me from going to that place in the Holy Spirit? What's stopping me? I know how to walk with you. I've experienced prayer with you. I've experienced even vision with you. But where my vision is, and where my prayer experience is, and my walking with you is, it seems to be limited because I see things and read things in the Bible, and it just seems to be that bit away from me. Seems to be beyond me. That freedom seems to be beyond me. That healing seems to be beyond me. That miracle, that breakthrough that I need seems to be beyond me, Lord. I can't go fishing. Every time I go fishing, I don't even catch any fish. It just seems to be that bit beyond me. But Jesus said to the disciples, you wait, Acts 1:8, wait on the Holy Spirit. Phil said it in John, it says that Jesus, you will do greater things than I have done. Why? Because of the multiplication of who we are and where we can go. Jesus was limited in his humanity to be in one place at one time. But then we all got filled with the Holy Spirit and we go all over Dublin today. We go all over communities where we live. We go all into jobs tomorrow if we have a job. We are all involved with people's lives somewhere. And he says, you can do the things that I've done. And then he says to him, now go and wait in the upper room. Go and wait in Jerusalem. See, sometimes it takes more as much faith to wait on God
than it does to step out of the boat. Because we don't like waiting. Because we want to get it done. My way, my result. Amen. Jesus says, wait and you will receive power. You will receive the fullness. He was telling them, in effect, that you will receive what Ezekiel only was looking at. The Old Testament saints were looking at what we experience in their day, in their time. He was looking at the healing. He was looking at the fruit. He was looking at the freedom. He was looking at the flow. He was looking at the fish of all kinds. But he couldn't affect it. He couldn't touch it because he was on the other side of the covenant. He was on the other side of the New Testament. And he longed to see what you and I. That's why there's a great cloud of witnesses. Hebrews 12. It says there are urging us on to receive and fulfill the promises and to run the race. Why? Because they seen it in the future, but they couldn't touch it the way you and I could. Imagine Abraham, Isaac, Joseph, Ezekiel, Elijah, Elisha. They're all there waiting on you and I, spurring us on, saying, go for it all that the Holy Spirit has for you. Go for the dreams. Because when we fulfill the promises, somehow they're fulfilled in the promises of God that they've seen. Can you imagine Ezekiel's rooting for you? Abraham is like, go for it, son. Esther is like, this is your time. You are born for such a time as this. Will you go for it? Isaiah is saying, I've seen him on the cross 2,000 years before he came, so that you will fulfill what you have to fulfill in God. So go for it. Can you imagine? Who else? Who's your Gideon? Yeah, I used to feel like you, Gideon would say. He's in the great cloud of witnesses. I used to feel feeble. I used to feel I'm the weakest in the clan. And my clan's the weakest, I'm the weakest. But I know the power of God, and he would say to you, go for it. David would say, I know what it is to fail God. For I got up, and I went for it. And now he's part of the great cloud of witnesses saying, now you go for it. Because he's saying, you have more than I had. They had the Holy Spirit on them. We get the Holy Spirit in us. What they longed to see, what Ezekiel was like, look at the trees, look at the fish, meaning the people, look at the flow of the Holy Spirit, the flow from the throne, look at the fruit, look at the leaves that brings healing to the nation. He's like, look at it. He could only look at it. But we're invited to actually taste of it and eat of it. And if you're an Old Testament believer, I want to call you into the New Testament today. That like I feel I'm beyond me. I feel like inhibited, and I feel like I'm not functioning on all cylinders. Well, that's an Old Testament believer. A New Testament believer is filled with the Holy Spirit, who waits on the Holy Spirit to receive fire from the Holy Spirit to do the work of the Holy Spirit in this nation. It's so important. You and I can't even recognize Jesus without the Holy Spirit. It's him that makes us known, that makes Jesus known. It's the Holy Spirit that draws us always to Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit that brings us, that brings glorification to Jesus. And Ezekiel says, you can have it. Amen. We cannot fulfill the dreams of God without going in to the deep end. 6'4". Two experiences of swimming. Where I learned how to swim, when I was born and raised in Dalton's Barn, as you know, 14 kids in the family. There, we went to bed in shifts. With three bedrooms, one for the four girls, one for my mum and dad, and the rest of us were like sardines in the other room. And, you know, you didn't get money to go to the swimming pool, but then, you know, we didn't even know where there was a swimming pool. But anyway, so we all learned to swim in the canal. And so, you know, looking at the canal now, I actually think, well, not now, I think when I was taught when I was growing up, that I could run and jump across the canal, because it's not that wide. But when you're a little fella, and I think I'm little now, I was really little then. And you look and you go, I'll never make it across that canal. It's only about 3 foot in width. I'll never make that. But when you have two young fellas, bigger boys, taking you by the arms, like, you're going across now. Us little fellas were like stones being skimmed across there. You get two fellas like running down the bank of the canal, like, and you're like, man, if I don't make it, tell me ma, I loved her or something. And I remember how I learned how to dive. Whatever which way they threw me, I put my arm out like that. And for about a year, I used to dive across like that. Truly. Remember another time I went to the swimming pool up on Okavanna Road, and a fella says to me, his name is Ronnie Regan. Anyone knows Ronnie? I know some people know Ronnie Regan. And Ronnie says, jump in there now. When you hit the bottom, you come back up. This is 6 foot. I go, is that right, Ronnie? So I goes to the edge, jumped in, hit the bottom, didn't come back up. And I start panicking. I never forget this girl jumped in and saved me. Like, I still remember her face to this day. Because you do see your life flashing. Boy, I thought I was gone and whatever. And I didn't die. I didn't drown. I'm here to tell the story. And God's invitation is to jump in the deep end. And you think you're going to drown, but you won't. You think you're going to sink in this, and you won't. You're like, I just like that dry land. Maybe I'll settle for ankle deep. Maybe I'll settle for 3,000 cubits. Maybe I'll settle for ankle deep. Knee deep, waist deep. Look, it's enough. Look, I'm able to show enough that I'm walking with God. I'm someone who prays. I'm someone who has vision. Man, but the empowerment is on the other side. See, you can have all of that, but the empowerment of God can only, to fulfill the dream of God, is only in the Holy Spirit. Is only in Ezekiel could look, but he couldn't touch. He could see it, but he'd never experienced it. That's why I just know there's a sadness in him. When I read that statement, he's like, and he took me back to the bank. And now I'm on the bank and I'm only looking what's on the other side. And you see people in this place, you're like, they're free and I seem to be on the bank. You see people moving in the Holy Spirit and like, and I'm not. And you think this and this, and I'm all on just this side. And like, they're all seeing me there, but it's not for them, it's for us all. We're all in void. I'd love God to get angels to be throwing us across like those two fellas in the flats. Look, I love you enough, Noel. I'm going to learn you how to swim. Come hook or crook, you're going across the other side. I'll have that from God. I'd have that from God. Because I can swim now like the Mount Atlantis. It's an 80s kid there now. And here's the thing. Jesus said, wait, seek me. They stayed there for 40 days. It wasn't like a half an hour prayer meeting. They waited and they got fire. They went for 40 days there. I want fire, Lord. I want more. I want more. Because Jesus' dream was this. Jesus said to them, you're going to change the world. Jesus was like, you're going to go in and you're going to heal the sick and cause the lame to dance. And cause the dead to rise, and to cast out devils, and to pull down strongholds, and to reach cities, and to reach nations, and to give people that are broken lives, give them back hope and joy and peace. And you're going to see kings fall down on their knees to worship me. You're going to see what you think is like, that will never change, come to change. You're going to see a city come to know the Lord. You're going to see people go out into the streets and up to Meat Street and see people healed. You're going to see old folks 80 years of age saying, look at me, knee got healed, I'm walking out of wheelchairs. You're going to see people and hear stories of people's lives being transformed whenever. And then you're going to see buildings, you're going to see rehabs, you're going to see all of this. You're going to see kids come to know God, reformation amongst young people, revolutions amongst, you're going to see all this. And you're like, Lord, it's too much. He's like saying to us, I'm throwing you in the deep end. Because when you're in there, you'll know it won't happen unless I come to pass. You can stay on the sandy shore and all. You can stay on solid ground if you want. But you're not going to see the things that you know you can see in God. I've had friends, pastor friends, well-meaning friends, 5, 6, 7 years going on. Noel, you're seeing more miracles than any of us. I'm like, no, there's more. And I want to tell you what you're seeing more miracles than any of us means. Will you shut up talking about this thing? That's what that means. That's the pastor's code. If you keep talking about this, we're going to have to look at it. We're going to have to apply ourselves to this. So you shut up, and that means we can all stay in 3,000 cubits full. But I know the deep water. I know there's something there that we have to be called into. And that's why I keep saying it. That's why we keep going at it. That's why we keep praying. That's why it just seems like Treasure Exchange being released in this house. But if we're in church that just stays with 3,000 cubits, you won't be hearing stories like that. Just do a tour. In fact, don't do a tour. Don't want anyone to spoil you. So Jesus says this. Next slide, last slide. Who is this for? Jesus says, would any of you who are fathers give a snake to your child if they ask for a fish? Or Or if he asked for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? If then, though you know how to do evil things, you know how to give gifts to your children, how much more will your Father give you the Holy Spirit? Give those the Holy Spirit who we ask, who ask for it. He's saying, those who know how to walk in 3,000 cubits, that's good. But he says, I'll bring you in all the way, because I'll give you the Holy Spirit if you ask. And I tell you, it's not for the weak-hearted. But I tell you what, you get to tell the stories of the adventure. You get to see the breakthroughs and the freedom. It's the magic in all of this. Here's where the magic is. Wait on God. Seek God. Knock at the door. And he's promised you will find. The door will be open. And you will have. Let's end. It's great. It's still only 9:15. It's like time stood still while we were preaching. Lord, we love you. And I just thank you, Lord, it's you that brings hope, joy, and freedom. What's incredible about this river that flows from the throne? Like the first 3,000 cubits, actually, yeah, walking with God is about me, even praying is about me, just listen to my prayer life. Father, can I have this? Father, can I have that? Even vision can be about me. Yeah, I have a great vision for this. But going into the deep end is about others. It's about the fish that don't know Jesus. It's about the people that need to be strengthened. It's about application of our lives to get the fruit and to allow the Holy Spirit to bear his fruit in us. The gifts of the Holy Spirit is all about other people. That's what the Bible says, it's for the building up and the edification of the church. It's a growing up place. It's a place where it's not all about me. Because I don't know about you, but when I focus on me all the time, I pick up offense like a magnet. It's because I've made it all about me. Me, 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 me. And then I get disgusted with despicable me. When I make it about me. How come that happens? But I make it about other people. And I follow God's leading for others. And everything makes sense then. Everything. And you might be at 1,000 cubits this morning. You're up to your ankles in it. Well, I'll call you to the 2,000 cubits mark. There'll be a different dynamic in your prayer time. And you might be at the 1,000, 2,000 up to the knees in it. And I call you to the waist where it's time to receive vision from God. Because God has a plan for your life and my life. And the Bible says, I know the plan, says God. So he knows the plans and he wants us to know the plans. And then he says, now here's how you know the plans. Seek me and you'll find me. That's the key to knowing what God knows, seeking him. And then there's many, many, many that is in waist deep and you have vision and you see all the things. It's on the other side. And God is saying, no, you're just going to have to jump in the deep end. There's no way around this. Believe me. You can't find this in the book. You can't find this in someone's sermon. You have to experience it. So will the worship team come back? We've 10 minutes on the clock. And if you want to come forward for prayer or stay where you're at, I would encourage you to come forward because if you're going into another 1,000, it means motion, it means moving into another place, it means a recognition of I'm going somewhere else. And we're going to sing these two songs. And we're not even going to pray for people. Because we're going to seek him and you're going to ask the Father. And he promises, I won't give you a snake, I won't give you a scorpion. Meaning, I won't give you something that's going to harm you. So you can trust him. He says, how much more will I give you the Holy Spirit? when you ask for them. So you want to go swimming. Take off the set of armbands. And trust him. Here I am, Lord. And you just seek him. You seek him right now. Tell him. Tell him. Father, I'm here for more. I can't do this without you. I need your power. I need your joy. I need what only comes from the Holy Spirit. I need to know what you're saying to me, and that comes via the Holy Spirit. I need to see Jesus, that it comes via the Holy Spirit. I need to know your power in my life, that via the Holy Spirit. I need to know the fruits of the Spirit in my life. Hey. I need power to fulfill the vision. That only comes from the Holy Spirit. I need leading in the vision that you give me. That comes from the Holy Spirit. I need revelation. That comes from the Holy Spirit. The God's vision is given us is so big. For this city, this nation, and even other nations. He makes it so big so that we can't do it without the Holy Spirit. So let's worship and you ask. You press into God.